This episode of Pride is presented by AT&T.
Straw Hut Media.
Today we're talking with Sarow, spelled S-A-R-O, an LA-based R&B pop artist. Sarow, aka Evan Windham, is an independent artist whose moody tracks live up to his name as he belts out lyrics like Love is Pain. Recently, Sarow began to openly sing about the men he has dated, like his recent single, Daddy I Love Him. But before he was proudly using male pronouns in his songs, he was using vague lyrics to hide his sexuality. It's a fear a lot of musicians have, that they'll somehow lose fans if they don't conform and sing songs about the opposite sex. But Sarow found a way to live authentically and now write songs about vampires and guys with snake tattoos without a second thought.
I'm Sarow, and this is Pride.
Before Sarow came out of the closet about his sexuality, he had to come out of another closet first.
Growing up, I was a closet singer. Like, literally no one knew I could sing. My family kind of knew because they would hear me.
He was very confident in his music and usually only showed off his vocals at home.
They would try to record me without me knowing. But when they tried to like get me to sing in front of other people, I'd be like, leave me alone, I'm playing StarCraft or whatever.
While most of us are probably notorious for belting out a Christina Aguilera song in the shower, Sarow's harmless singing went a little beyond that.
Sometimes would come up with melodies and stuff.
He would later learn that music has been part of him since before he was born.
While I was in my mother's womb, she was in the recording studio all the time, working on a project. I knew that she had made music, but I didn't know that it was while she was pregnant with me. So finding that out, I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
It was something he was really passionate about, yet he didn't see music as a potential career.
I kind of was always too afraid to pursue anything in music. I didn't think that it was something that was possible for me.
But the music industry isn't an easy career path. It's competitive and intimidating, which caused Sarow to have a lot of doubts.
I think it was just like how grandiose the industry felt, like as a kid watching it on TV. And, you know, I was a huge music fan, but I was like, that's them and this is me and I can never achieve that. And I was just like, that's like way too big and flashy and insane for me to even think that I can achieve anything like that.
His dream for a career in music didn't even originate until high school, where he met a young artist named Simone Battle.
She and I became really close and she kind of brought it out of me. She, like, we were drinking one night and I started singing with her and she was like, oh my God, you could sing? So she forced me to go to a recording studio with her and kind of brought it out of me. And the second I was in the studio, I was like, this is where I need to be. From now on, I loved it so much.
I guess he needed to go back to where his mom had started it all, a recording studio. Even after finding sanctuary in the recording studio, Sarow's fear of the music industry didn't fade away, because on top of worrying if he had what it takes to make it, he also had to worry about being gay, and would that affect his career?
There were people in my life that knew that I was, you know, queer, and they told me not to tell the people I was working with. And that, you know, was a lot and made me kind of like recede further into the closet when it came to the industry, because I was afraid that people wouldn't want to work with me or like I would get pigeonholed.
Sarow tried to fit the mold of a stereotypical male singer. He left his songs vague so that even his friends and family wouldn't know who or what he was singing about.
Yeah, I definitely would write in shroud, I guess I would say, like just kind of hide things in between the lines, which I love. Like all my favorite artists, most of my favorite artists write in like this poetic way where you, it's kind of like there are double meanings. And so that's kind of, I would like hide little secrets in the music. But yeah, so that people couldn't figure out exactly what I was saying, or they could speculate, but they wouldn't know for sure.
But Sarow didn't want to hide who he was from the world. So he came out.
Once I did come out, it was honestly the opposite effect, where it was like people were like, amazing, we love you, like even more now. And, you know, once I was authentic to myself a little more, I really found the people that I wanted to work with and that like wanted to work with me for me.
Saro's authenticity went into his songwriting too. He was a male artist singing about liking men, which didn't seem like a big deal, but it is.
I try to be as honest as possible when writing now. Definitely use male pronouns when talking about love interests. And, you know, I think that it just makes it more authentic and true. And I think that that's the best place to write from, because then you actually can stand behind your art.
There are so many amazingly talented LGBTQ plus artists right now in the world that sometimes it's hard for me to choose who to listen to in the car. Recently on the podcast, we've had guests like country singer Brooke Eden and singer and rapper Todrick Hall speak on their successful careers. So maybe there's hope for the industry after all.
I do feel like the industry is changing, absolutely. I think it's changing very rapidly now. Yeah, even like 2 years ago, it was different than it is now. I feel like it really is about your talent and, you know, how you put yourself out there. And I still feel like you can get a little bit boxed in if you like come out a certain way. But I think that the community is just like receptive to like really supporting artists that are LGBTQ plus. So, I mean, I think it's definitely changing. I think there's still like a little bit of stigma, but for the most part, I love the direction we're headed in.
It's like a double coming out, right? You have to come out with as an artist and then as a person and then in your music and then to the world and to your friends and to your family. It becomes
yeah.
Like
every new person is a new closet that it is erected. Everyone you meet. Yeah.
It took a while for Saro to feel ready to come out to his dad.
And my dad and I have a great relationship. Early on, he was one of the, like, there were some problematic things said that made me kind of like stay in the closet for a couple more years that, you know, I would have been out. And then when I finally came out to him, he was just like the sweetest. "You're still my sonny boy and I love you." Like, gave me a hug and I like blacked out the whole moment. But we're super close now.
And it was his relationship with his dad that inspired one of his newest singles, "Daddy, I Love Him."
There was one boy that he just could not stand.
So we have to address the fact that the song is a slight reference to Disney's The Little Mermaid, where Ariel throws a fit when Daddy Triton won't let her date the human.
So yeah, I mean, the line is very obviously a Little Mermaid nod. When I was writing it, it wasn't so much about that.
The song has less to do with mermaids and more to do with snakes.
The first line I wrote was, "He has a snake tattooed on his face," which is very specific to a person that I dated who, after I wasn't dating them anymore, who I'm still friends with now, by the way, he got a tattoo on his face of a snake. And it's pretty intense. But like that, I think I just found out that he got that tattoo. So I like wrote that line and then it was like, "But daddy, I love him," kind of like no matter what, kind of how like dark or twisted or, you know, undateable someone is, if you love them, you have to like stand up to your parents or stand up to whoever and be proud of who you're dating. So that was kind of like the concept.
So how did Saro's dad react to the song?
When I first played the song for my dad though, he was like, "Hey, like I always accept everything."
But he didn't accept the boy that he was dating, at least not at the time. The guy didn't have a snake tattoo on his face, yet. But that doesn't mean there weren't a few red flags for the parents.
I think that there was some discomfort with, like, if I was staying at my dad's and, like, I would want him to come stay with us. And then, like, him, like, walking around kind of like he owned the place and, like, eating food and cooking food and, like, being shirtless in the kitchen, like, that kind of stuff, you know? I think that there was some homophobia, like, in buried in there, you know, because it was one of the first people that like I had around a lot. I don't like to use that word when referring to my dad because he's come such a long way, but anyway,
it's like the bad boy, right? Like, no, not that one, not the one with the motorcycle.
Yeah, bad boy. Yeah, but also a lot of newness, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of parents go through that. Saro is working on an album, but he's released two singles in the last month, "Daddy, I Love Him" and Boy Tears.
Boy Tears is about a vampire who's addicted to making boys cry, basically. So, I'm just like having fun with it.
We've been in a pandemic for over a year, and it's safe to say it's been tough for a lot of us. Sara wanted his new music to be brighter and happier to counteract all the darkness of the current world. So obviously, that means vampires.
Most of the time, I was like, let me just write something that's fun and that I can, like, you know, enjoy the process and not get too deep. So yeah, it's very queer inspired. There are some relationship moments, some darkness. But yeah, for the most part, it's fun and light.
When I ask what a surreal moment in their career has been, most artists I speak to answer with an anecdote about playing to one of their biggest live audiences. Because it's crazy to see so many people there listening to you, right? But on the other hand, there's something so special about playing to an intimate audience, like at a college show.
Because the students are just so happy to have you and like so into what you're doing, and you just feel so connected and so close. So my favorite show ever was at a college in Oregon. It was like a Friday night. Everyone, you know, it was like on the outskirts. So people were just so excited to like have someone in town performing. They all like listened to the music before if they didn't know who I was. So like everyone knew the words, and I got down into the audience and like had a, you know, a wireless mic, and everyone surrounded me, and it was just like the most beautiful moment. And that was definitely like the highlight of my performance career so far.
When we come back, how Sara got his name, cyberbullying, and new music. This episode of Pride is presented by AT&T. Are you part of the next generation of LGBTQ+ leaders? Then I want you to enter the AT&T Turn Up the Love Grant Contest. You could receive a $25,000 grant and an incredible mentorship experience to help you increase your impact. Now until October 31st, all you have to do is upload a video to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram explaining how you're a community advocate who is working to advance equality and safety for LGBTQ+ youth, how you're taking a stand, or how you turn up the love for the LGBTQ+ community. And don't forget to tag AT&T at ATT, hashtag turn up the love, and hashtag ATT contest. I'll be checking in to see some of those video entries, so you better follow those rules and go to http://turnuptheLove.com/grant contest to learn more about the official rules. Welcome back. Today, we're talking to Sara, an alt R&B pop artist who's been delivering danceable beats since 2016. Before the break, Sara said he had to come out of multiple closets to embrace his true self. And thanks to his friend Simone, he was able to truly discover his love for music. And so, it seems only fitting that when he lost her, he turned to music again.
When my friend Simone passed away, who I referred to earlier, who basically got me into music, she passed away in 2014. And that was the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with in my entire life. And there was one album I kept going back to just to like numb everything and make me feel okay. And it was Paracosm by Washed Out. That album was just like the wind beneath my wings. Like, it just was the only thing that made me feel okay. So I have reached out to Washed Out and just kind of like let him know. And it felt good to let him know that like saved me in that time of need. And then the other, it was just like when I was dealing with coming out and like the uncertainty of my sexuality in those teen years, I discovered the Smiths, Morrissey, who, you know, is kind of an asshole and I would never want to meet him. But that music really resonated with me. I like read between the lines and kind of felt like very kindred with what he was saying, and it made me feel solidarity with being queer and like not knowing, you know, what to do next. Yeah, and that's my name actually originates from a Smith song, so obviously one of my favorites.
After Simone passed, Sorrow completely shut down. The only reason he ever left his house at all was because his mom would drag him to gatherings.
So I would go out to dinners and there would be photos being taken and I wouldn't be smiling in the photos because I was just so depressed. So my mom was like, "You never smile, you never smile, you never smile." And then I was listening to one of my favorite songs by the Smiths, which is called Pretty Girls Make Graves, which like I resonate so deeply with. But in the song he says, "And sorrow's native son, he will not smile for anyone." And so when I was, you know, I went by Evan Mellows before I went by Sorrow, and I knew that I had to scrap everything because I was just not feeling as connected with the music that I was going to put out. So I scrapped it all and I started writing this new music. And when I heard that song, I wrote down the word sorrow, just spelled, you know, S-O-R-R-O-W. And it stayed on my list of like possible names, just, and then I just changed the spelling and it stuck. But I remembered that that's where that word came from.
So if you were curious where sorrow came from, now you know.
I wish sorrow was my born name. That would be awesome.
In addition to the music community, Sorrow is also a huge gamer.
I'm a Blizzard boy, day one Blizzard boy, like StarCraft, Warcraft, World of Warcraft, all that good stuff.
He even played an early beta version of League of Legends, and that probably made his entire year.
And I had a friend who worked in HR there, and I got to go visit the grounds, and it was like the most amazing day ever. But yeah, I'm such a gamer. I love everything.
All right, so you get it. He's a big fan. But a lot of people have actually quit gaming because the community is so riddled with homophobia. Many games have an online component where you get to interact with other players, which basically means cyberbullying is inevitable.
You hear so many slurs, like every other word out of gamers' mouths. I'm assuming non-queer gamers, you know, N-word, F-word. It's just like thrown back and forth. It's very triggering. And I just have gotten to the point where like I remove myself from the situation. I don't engage anymore. I used to. But yeah, it's a toxic landscape out there. And you just have to, you know, for me at least, I just have like for my own sanity, I just have to not be a part of that. If there's someone who I'm playing with that is, you know, speaking that way, I'll mute them. I will, you know, move on. But yeah, it's a hard world when there's no consequence to, you know, you can just hide behind your computer or your console and say whatever you want.
He says his best piece of advice for those who are struggling with online cyberbullying is to not let it get to you and to shut it down.
I'm like zero tolerance policy. If someone comes in my comments sideways, I will block them. I will delete. I try not to waste my energy retorting anymore. Sometimes I'll do it, but for the most part, you just, you know, find that inner strength and keep kicking, you know?
Which is really great advice. It can feel so easy to just give in and fight back at bullies online, but in the end, it never really pays off much.
You just have to like trust in your community and like find your community and find your people and like gain the strength from them and realize that like you're not alone. There are like-minded people out there, and just find strength and solace in that.
And this mindset of blocking out the haters is how Sorrow also handles bullies in his music community.
So I just, whenever I get sidetracked with some hate or something, like I just try to snap out of it as quickly as possible. But I do give myself like a good 24 hours. I'm like, all right, you have 24 hours to mourn this or 24 hours to feel this, but then, you know, you got to let it go and move on. And I think that there have been times where reactions have made me slow down or take breaks. But then I, you know, compose myself and realize that literally creating is what saved my life. Like making music and putting music out is what saved my life. And every time someone, you know, says to me that what I'm doing has saved their life or helped them in some way, it makes it so important to me that I keep going. Whenever anyone like reaches out to me to say that I've helped them, you know, overcome a breakup or, you know, suppress some of their darker thoughts, maybe not suppress, but like get over some dark thoughts, because, you know, some of my music is like deals with really heavy subjects, loss, heartbreak. So, you know, I've been at shows. It's not really the moments where I'm on stage. It's like the offstage moments where someone takes me to the side and says like, hey, like that song really got me through a tough time. Like that song saved my life. That song, you know, helped my relationship or helped me get out of a toxic relationship. Those are really the moments that make me feel like I'm should be doing what I'm doing.
LA has been under very strict shutdown since the beginning of the pandemic. So a lot of us have been using our free time to take up crafts, bake banana bread, maybe get some deep cleaning done. But for Sorrow, his time was spent honing in on some of his music skills.
I definitely picked up a couple new skills. I got a little better at piano, which is great. I wasn't comfortable playing piano while singing before the pandemic, and now I am. And that's such a blessing. I definitely feel like I've been able to write more and become more self-sufficient when it comes to creating music. But there were a lot of dark lulls where I was just like, I have no inspiration and no motivation. So yeah, I came in waves. But overall, I'm really happy that I did have time and space to like create in this new way.
And now he's already released two singles leading up to his first full-length album.
That should come out later this year.
And he has a few other projects up his sleeve.
Just visuals, collaborations, some side projects, and hopefully a tour early next year.
Live music has been slowly coming back, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that at some point we can all go to a Sorrow tour soon. But until then...
You can stream my music on all streaming platforms. Just search for Sorrow, S-A-R-O. Instagram at S-A-R-O. TikTok, which I'm very new to, at S-A-R-O. Twitter at Only Sorrow.
Pride is a production of Straw Hat Media. If you like the show, leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're tuning in from. Then follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Pride, and tune in weekly for new episodes. Be sure to share this episode with your friends and subscribe for more stories from amazing queer people. If you'd like to connect with me, you can follow me everywhere at Levi Chambers. Pride is produced by me, Levi Chambers, Maggie Bowles, Ryan Tillotson, and Caitlin McDaniel. Edited by Silvana Alcala and Daniel Ferreira. Sound mixing by Silvana Alcala. Right, I forget what that saying is, but like light comes from the darkest of
exactly.
times.
Exactly. I think they say it in Harry Potter too.
Oh, that's probably where it comes from. Yeah, that sounds like a very Dumbledore thing to say.
It's absolutely Dumbledore.